Psalm 3 and 1 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Notice the, the explanation mark. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Hold it right there, Sister Jessica. Thank you. Notice this. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. How would you like for someone to say that about you? That's pretty gnarly, right? That's not good. And then it's Selah. Just kind of like, think about that. But notice what David says. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory, or my honor, or my reputation. And the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. Somebody needs to get some sleep. After church. Amen. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Notice that he sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten some of my enemies upon the cheekbone. All my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. It's like a 1-2 punch right there. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you pray with Pastor tonight that we would be doers of the word of the Lord, not just hearers tonight? Would you lift your voices? Would you pray?
Hallelujah, God.
Come on, pray with me tonight. Jesus, we pray tonight, Lord, you would help us be doers of the word, God. Help us to understand tonight, God, your word, Lord. Help us to apply it, Lord. God, your word says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, to him it is sin, God. Help us to do good tonight, God. Help us to hearken what thus saith the word, Lord. Help it to fall on good ground tonight. Thy seed is anointed, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. The church says, amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist, Psalm 3 and 3 in the Message version says, but you, God, shield me on all sides. You ground my feet. You lift up my head high. A lifter means to rise, raise up, promote, or to mount up, or to set up. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, the lifter of my head, the lifter of my head. David is in a very interesting position at this time and of his life. He was in a real dilemma. David was the king. He was the great king. And David was chosen by God. He was anointed by Samuel. He of course, was talented. He was a man of much war. He was chosen by God. He was a warrior. He was a minstrel, a psalmist. He had his sins. He had his adulterous ways. He made mistakes. Of course, he conspired for his sins and to hide his sin. But he had some trouble that came up against him. In fact, David was one that was accustomed to trouble, being the king. He knew a little bit about trouble. He knew about trouble before he became the king. He was anointed, and before he was even the king, he had trouble. But the situation that he was facing, the situation that he was under, is not anything that any of us would take lightly. In fact, when David writes this psalm, it is, theologians would say that he was, on the Mount of Olives, and he was praying because his son Absalom was coming against him. In fact, if you read 2 Samuel chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, you'll understand the connotation or the heartbeat of David. His son Absalom killed his brother Amnon, and so Absalom tried to dethrone David, and he was a handsome man just like his father. And he was very good. He was a smooth talker. He was a smooth operator. And in fact, you would draw the conclusion that it took maybe 4 years or so in reading the scripture where Absalom would sit outside of the city and he would talk with folks that were coming in to see the king. In fact, he was so arrogant and rebellious and disobedient that he even got 50 horses and men to run in front of him, and he would sit there. When people would come to see the king, he would say, "What do you want to see the king about?" "Oh, wow." I they would tell him, and then he would say, "Well, too bad that there wasn't somebody that could hear you, or the king doesn't have time for you. And if I was, and he had that spirit, you know, if I was the boss, if I was the owner, if I was the manager, if I was the platform coordinator, if I was the head usher, you know, if I, and he had that attitude, and before you know it, he tried to dethrone his father. And this guy, he had long hair. His hair was so long, he cut it once a year, and when he cut it, it was 5 pounds. This is just the person that David was dealing with, his own flesh and blood. But if you read the scriptures, 2 Samuel, the prophet Nathan told David that he was going to have some problems in his home. Yep. Because of the sin that he had committed against God. But when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife, the prophet came to him and told him that there was going to be some things that were going to take place in his life because of his sin. In fact, the man of God said, "Because you did some things in secret, what's going to happen to you is going to be done out in the open." And so David finds himself in a situation where his friends and his advisors, they leave him, and some of them align with his son, and they go out, and David leaves, and you can imagine the emotional distress and the mental anguish that David is in. He's the king, and it's not as if the entire kingdom came up against him. David still, remember, David had some mighty men. You remember that? David had some men that they knew how to get down. They knew how to fight. They know how to use a sword. They could get gangster on some people, right? They knew how to get crazy. And so David, he leaves, and he's fleeing, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. And he begins to pray. He begins to have a conversation with the Lord. And the psalmist says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many be which say of my soul, there is no help from him in God." In fact, I want, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Something that I have learned and I have applied throughout my life in the church and out of the church. And this is the same. Nothing is as good as it seems, but neither is something as bad as it seems. Neither is everything as good as it seems, but neither is everything as bad as it seems. And I tell you why. Because if you're a child of God and you're living for God, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the pastor."
By the Lord.
By the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And things aren't always as bad as they look, but neither as they are always as good as they seem. And you'll see in this scripture, David, you know, many times we will say things, well, everybody's against me. Well, who's everybody? Well, they said, well, who's they? Bring they to me.
Right.
Well, David could have had that attitude, but he says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are saying that there's no help for me." And could you believe that that's a king? That's an anointed man of God that's saying that. So that ought to help you feel better and sleep better tonight to say, well, man, if King David said that, then, you know, I'm having a bad day. It's not as bad as this guy. I mean, this guy's had a lot of stuff that happened. Can I encourage somebody tonight? Point number one is God is our shield. God is our shield. Your shield is not in man. In fact, David says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Your financial security, believe it or not, is not in your job. I know we have a hard time believing that, and it took me years to understand that principle. Your emotional shield is not in people. It's not in people. God is your shield. God, when you're lonely, God is your comforter. When if you need provision, God will be the provider. He will be the provision that you need. He told the children of Israel, I am that I am. I will be what I need to be to my people. In fact, Isaiah said he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. That's the God that we serve. In fact, we need to have an understanding. I'm so far off my note. We need to have an understanding of our relationship with God as a father with a child. I mean, some of you that, not grandparents, but parents with a child, You correct your children. You make statements like, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I correct you because of this. And some of you would take the food out of your mouth and give it to your child if you had to. You would. Because you love your children. You will sleep on the floor. You'll sleep on a rock so your kids could have something nice and comfortable to sleep on. You'll go without, and you're going without now so your kids can have some stuff. You want to give your kids some things that you never had or things that you talked about. You circled the stuff in the catalog that you wanted, you know? And you're making sure your kid has that at 10 years old, and it took you until you're 18 years old to be able to afford one of those things, you know? You always wanted a jersey, and now you're 30 years old wearing a football jersey, all proud, because you couldn't have one at 12, and now you can afford to buy whatever one you want. So you buy one. But we need to have the understanding of our relationship with God as a father, right, with the child, that he laid down his life, that he shed his blood. And so David is dealing with this situation with his son. In fact, you'll notice in the scripture, and this is going to turn into the next Wednesday, I can tell already, but you'll notice in the scripture that David tells he tells Joab, one of his mighty men, he tells him, hey, be easy on my son. He didn't want any harm to come to his son, even though, Brother Green, his son was doing all this against him in public, in front of everybody. I know there's children here tonight, but you read the scripture. His son did some immoral things with David's wives in front of everybody. He disgraced him. He humiliated the kingdom. He humiliated the king and the man of God. And David has this prayer, and he says, Lord, you're my shield. David could have relied on his mighty men to do something, Sister Savannah. But David saw the disobedience and the rebellion, that it was not pleasing to God. And David says, but O Lord, you are my shield around me. God is not just a shield for you. God is a shield around you. When you're walking, the scripture says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you're walking, hey, something comes to the right, guess what? God is there on the right, and he's a shield for you. If something comes behind you, he's a shield behind you. He's in front of you. He orders your step. And we got to understand that the Lord is our shield. A shield protects. That's what a shield, it's a defender. And guess what? Because of the Lord is our shield, he also is the lifter of our head. There's things that have us with our head down. You think David he was ashamed. He was embarrassed. He was humiliated. You think if you read the scripture, if you want to read this story, 2 Samuel, start 2 Samuel, start around about chapter 14, you'll see the intensity of what David was going through. And then he has this psalm that he writes, Lord, there's so many up against me, and they're saying that there's no help for me, but Lord, you are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. One thing that David knew, that God was his safety net.
Right.
Safety, the state of being safe, the quality of averting or not causing injury from danger or loss, protecting from harm. One definition says an assurance. David had the assurance that God was going to see him through. In fact, Paul reminds us of the assurance in Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by crying and weeping and complaining and moaning and groaning. No, but in everything by prayer. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
And supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But notice this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of people say, well, I don't know how you're going through it. I don't either. But it's the peace which passeth understanding. Paul could testify that God was his shield. To have God on you as a shield, Brother Peter, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Hey, the poor decisions that some of us have made, maybe you mishandled something. Someone turned what you said and they twisted it all around. And now you got some enemies. Remember, God is your shield. God is your shield. Believe it or not, there's some people that have something to say or something to gripe and complain about, and they think that they could fix it. And that's what happened in David's situation. But David said, Lord, how are they the increase that trouble me? Many are there that rise up against me. There's something I learned early on in ministry, early on actually in life. If you're taking notes, you write this down. This is so profound. Not everybody's going to like you. I know it's hard to believe you, right? You think you're so cuddly and lovable, but not everybody's going to like you. They didn't like King David. They didn't like Jesus. They denied him. Judas, he didn't get it. I say it all the time. He didn't get it. Not always going to like you. Not everyone will be like you. And thank the Lord for that. Not everyone has your best interest in mind. David's son was against him. David had men that wanted him gone. There were many that had increase. Notice this. I'm going to cover some stuff. Some folks are just contentious. They're troublemakers. That's how they like drama. They like to argue. Hey, if that's you, don't be that way. Shame on you. Well, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Some people are just rude. Some people are just mean. They have a mean pill every morning. And they don't wear off. And they take another, they keep taking them. Some folks have an independent spirit. It's all about them.
Yeah.
They're not team players. Boss puts you with them in a group project. It's all about them. They'll climb over you. They'll step on you. They'll do whatever. They'll connive. They'll cheat. They'll throw you under the bus, and they'll drive the bus, and they'll honk, and they go over you. They have hidden agendas. Can somebody say amen? Some folks have a critical spirit or a selfish attitude. Because if it's not them, they don't get the keys. They don't get the mic. They don't get the parking spot. They don't get the promotion. They don't get the new purse. If someone doesn't fare up to their standards, you know, they know more than the CEO, right? Yeah. Hey, if that's you, knock it off. Stop it. Don't be that way. Pray. Repent. Change. Be an encourager. Come on. Lift up somebody's head. Lift up your own head.
Amen.
What David rose up against, it was a spirit of disobedience and defiance that rose up against him. No different than what many of us see today in the world. Always, see, I'm using some of the words that we use. Always griping about their agenda. Not everybody's griping about their agenda, but some folks do. Their idea, what they think. If they were the boss, if they were the sound person, if they were the owner, if they were the city manager, if they weren't lazy, they would.
Yeah.
Right? But notice this. David knew that God was the lifter of his head. David understood that anything and everything that was coming up against him was not too hard for God, no matter what people said. David knew that nothing that came up against him was too difficult, not impossible for God to help him or bring him out. Notice what he says in verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for me in God. The New Living Translation says, so many are saying, God will never rescue him. I mean, that when I read that, it just kind of makes me cringe inside. The audacity of some people to say, not even God can help you. Really? What a knucklehead. That is so far from the truth. If you're willing and God died for everybody on the cross he's going to judge us, and there is a hell, but there's also a heaven. And guess what? God is the lifter of your head. And as they were mocking David, they were telling David, there was one guy throwing rocks at David and saying, you got what you deserve. You took and stole the kingdom from Saul. And he was cursing and making statements. And what did David say? They said, King, let me chop off his head. And David says, no, just let him be. Just let him. Because David knew who the lifter of his head. Some of us need to have the same resilience,
right. The
same faith, the same tenacity, and say, you know what? Say all what you want to say.
Yeah.
But God is the lifter of my head. You can find an Absalom spirit anywhere. At work. You could find the Absalom spirit at the church. That mindset, the personality, anywhere. Folks that want to minimize the value of your hard work and steal the joy of your labor. The anointing. Your anointing cannot be stolen from man.
Yeah. Right.
If God opens a door, it doesn't matter how many people stand in front of it, what their political association, how big their church is, and how influential they are. If God opens a door, nobody can shut the door.
It,
God will bless, God will prove himself. A man's gift will make a way. Hey, that doesn't just show itself in the church. It shows itself outside the church. I want us to get a mindset that you can be blessed by God and you can have favor in front of man because of God. God will lift you up in front of your enemies. God will show you and put you in places that you thought, man, it could never happen. But God will allow it to happen in a few weeks, a few months, a few years that you thought it would take a lifetime because he is the lifter of your head.
Amen.
Notice what the Bible says about your ways pleasing God. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, somebody read that. What a reassurance.
Yeah.
What a reassurance. That is the lifter of my head. That's the God that's my God that even my enemies will be at peace with me.
Yeah.
What a blessing. You can find the devices of Satan anywhere. The deception of the enemy are sometimes painted in a manner of things that go like this. They don't like you. God doesn't love you. You're not appreciated. God has forsaken you. The enemy comes along with just sweet words, with words that are just soothing, just like the serpent was in the garden. Did God really say? And look what happened, because it was smooth-talking, deceptive snake. Devil's real good at talking and yapping.
Yep.
Anytime you walk by, not literally, somebody acting like the devil in their mind, don't even listen to them. I'm going the opposite way. I don't want to hear.
Right.
God is the lifter of my head. David had a different perspective. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of his head. David knew the reality of the trouble and the circumstance that he was in, but he also knew the reality of who his heavenly Father was.
Yeah.
We gotta have an understanding of who our heavenly Father is. It's not somebody that you call on just when you're in trouble, but it's someone you have relationship and dialogue with and respect and reverence and honor and worship. No matter what's going on, that's what David had. He praised the Lord in the good times, and he praised the Lord in the bad. He praised the Lord when they brought back the Ark of the Covenant, and he goes and he's having this difficult time, and he has a psalm. We're talking about this today from a man that was in so much trouble. He cried unto the Lord with his voice. Notice Psalm 3:4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Second point tonight, are you talking to the Lord about what you are fearful of, contemplating, what you're about to do, what's causing you to hang your head down? Are you talking to the Lord about that? Remember, we took a challenge a week ago. Giving God our supplications, our concerns, our petitions, our prayers, our desires, our questions, the decisions, the worries, to the God who created the heavens and the earth, who is the lifter of our head. David talked to the Lord. And guess what? David says, and the Lord heard me out of his holy hill. Absalom took years to come up with this scheme. But David understood. David knew who the lifter of his head was. David had a revelation. Somewhere down the road, David understood who the lifter of his head was. 2 Samuel 15:32 says, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. In the scripture, it tells us David is barefoot and he's walking Mount Olives praying and worshiping the Lord. With all this going on, I mean, mentally fatigued, emotionally distraught, spiritually probably trying to figure out what he's going to do. Family's in disarray, but he knew who the lifter of his head was. He knew. Somebody didn't have to come remind him. In fact, there's another portion of scripture that we read at Ziklag where David encourages himself in the Lord.
Yep.
David had something in him. Do we have that same resolve in us that, you know what? When all of hell is coming up against me, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I know who the lifter of my head is. I know who holds my tomorrow. They threw stones at David. I mean, that all that is enough for him to hang his head down and to walk around. Oh, poor me. Right? Oh, poor Bocito. How do we say that? Right? Oh, poor me. Poor baby. Look what's going on. Hey, David. Hey, said, God's the lifter of my head.
Yeah.
Bottom line. He's the glory, my shield, and the lifter of my head. Psalms 4 and 1 says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The New Living Translation says, you can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call unto him. David understood who the lifter of his head was. He understood. Some of us make statements though. Notice this. Well, they said this, this, and this. Where everyone is doing it. Nobody likes me. Everybody's against me. People at school don't like me. I always get stuck with the grunt work on the job. And we generalize and we make big assumptions, ideas, and feel that even God won't help us. But let me encourage someone this morning or this evening. Even if you felt or knew the whole world was against you, even if you were wrong, some of us that's hard to accept. Even if you made a fool of yourself and you sang off key and you missed the deadline and you let the company down and they had to close the doors because of you. Even if they have a video of you and they post it on YouTube, you looking like a crazy person. Even if you got fired, lost your job, were cheated on. Even if you were falsely accused, were embarrassed. Even if you made a bad financial decision, even if you sinned and everybody saw it and knew it, or you stuck your foot in your mouth, or you made a bad financial decision, you made promises you couldn't keep, even if you lied, hey, if you repented and you asked God to forgive you and you confessed your faults to the Lord and you were sincere, and if God forgave you, who cares if they don't forgive you?
Right.
Who cares what they say? Who cares if they don't like you? Who cares if they don't want to be your friend? It doesn't matter. He is the lifter of your head. Hey, if God saved you, if God changed you, if God delivered you, if God has kept you, He will bless you. In fact, I read somewhere in the Bible, Romans 8:31, if God be for you, who can be against you? Hey, doesn't matter. If God's for you, who can be against? He's the lifter of your head. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's your shield. He's also your glory. And the lifter of your head. God is so good to His people. Well, I got one all right. One amen. God is so awesome. He's the lifter of your, He's the reason why we're here. He brought us all together to be here. David understood that the Lord was his shield, his glory, and the lifter of his head. Notice something, Revival Tabernacle. 2 Timothy 1:7, if the musicians would come. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound. He's the lifter of your head. You ever talk to somebody and they're all, right? They put your head down. It's going to be all right. No, it's going to be all right. Lift up your head. Come on, lift up. Oh, I don't want to lift up my head. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be sad. I want to be bummed out. You know what? Hey, He's the lifter of your head. He'll lift you up. He'll put you up. He'll promote you again. He'll bless you again. If your ways please the Lord, He'll make your enemies even be at peace with you.
That's a great one. That's the word of God. That's not a cliche. That's not something that pastor came up with. He'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. That is, he'll lift up your spirits, your attitude, your bad day, your mind. Let him give you peace so you can get rest and have some assurance. God didn't give us something to carry a burden. He doesn't want us to have burdens. He wants us to have joy, unspeakable joy and full of glory. He's a shield that is a protector, a shield protects. That's what a shield does. When a soldier goes out into battle and in those days and they had a shield, it defended them. It protected them against the hurt and the pain and the adversaries. In fact, Paul talked about the shield of faith in Ephesians 6 and 16. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. God protects his people.
Yes, he does.
Well, as we stand tonight, Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. God's with you. He's not going to fail thee, nor forsake thee. That is a reassurance for somebody this evening. Don't hit the panic button. Don't compromise. Don't stress out. Give it to the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As they begin to play and sing, God is greater than your fears. This is going to surprise somebody, but God is greater than your problem. He's greater than your sickness and greater than your finances. And David knew that. David knew that God was the lifter of his head. Would you lift your hands unto the Lord as they bless us in song? Just thank the Lord for this day. Come on, that's it. Thank the Lord for this day. Talk to the Lord tonight. Us came in with so many burdens, midweek weariness, just life. But right where you are, with your hands lifted up, he's going to meet you right in your chair, because his glory is here, his power is here, his love is here. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? You want to come to the altar? You can come to the altar. As a sign of unity, as a sign of surrender. Come on, let's step out. Maybe pray with somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Don't hold your head down when you leave here tonight. But hold your head up. He's the lifter of your head. God to forgive you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to bless you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask him tonight, oh God. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I got trouble. Let him be the lifter of your head tonight. God's for you. He's with you. Up. He'll lift you up if you let him lift you up. If you reach out to him tonight, he'll lift you up. If you want to, if you want him to. He's not going to force himself on you. But you got to have a desire tonight.